this is Katie Weatherup, and I'm a shamanic practitioner, and I wanted to share something for my intuitive psychic folks who may be feeling a little bit extra freaked out about the whole pandemic experience, because when things happen, you're used to being able to sort of open up your third eye, whether it's a really conscious process or not a conscious process, and kind of check out the destiny paths and kind of see what's up and kind of be able to tell what's going on. And this is a particularly difficult activating time, because if you're somebody like me, you know, former engineer, I do really well with data and information and facts. And so, you know, one of the things that usually calms me down is I can go to the news, I can research something, I can come to an understanding, I can see how it makes sense, and I can kind of integrate it. And that's rather the universal human approach, or a universal human approach to dealing with things. But the trouble is that it's just not working really well in coronavirus times. And there's some good reasons for that. One of them that's just really hard is the ground keeps shifting. The information keeps changing. We kind of make peace with something or think it's going to be a certain way. And then the next moment, there's another outcome and there's something to adjust to. On an emotional level, one of the things that some people have talked about, I think very eloquently, is it's sort of like having to go through a new grief cycle every day or every couple of days, because we get information, there's the shock, there's the dismay, there's the bargaining, there's the denial, and then we could get to acceptance, except then there's new information to process. So everything is super stirred up on the emotional level, because there are a lot of things that are coming in really fast that are very activating for human emotions. You know, people dying, people being out of work, people being unsafe, what's going to happen? You know, there's a lot to manage emotionally. And if you, you know, develop some skills, you may be doing okay with that. But there are a lot of people who weren't geeky enough to, you know, invest in personal development or get really introspective, and we're sharing the world with some people whose muscles or skills in those areas aren't as developed, and it can be hard to give people who are kind of acting out or being really reactive grace, and especially if there's a mirror for something inside of us. It's a very, very good time for shadow. So emotional matrix, pretty stirred up, not having the ground that's helpful. Instincts are having a really hard time of it. We're really hardwired as humans at the biological level to respond to other people's fear cues. So, and that goes for language too. So you could watch a video of somebody who's freaked out, but you could also watch, read words that people are stringing together that convey that. I've certainly had emotional responses to novels that I've read. And so there's this transmission. And it was really good when we were hunter-gatherer people and somebody spotted danger for us to have our reaction happening before our minds had caught up to understanding what the danger was, because we could always chillax in the next moment. But if we needed to be relocating the toddlers further from the lion and, you know, really, really fast, you know, it was better to have these hair trigger responses. So what's hard about this is, you know, there are a lot of really wound up people, and it's sort of hammering on some of our circuitry that says, you know, be wound up, be upset. And then with social distancing, again, biologically hardwired to be in connection. And one of the things that I love about the modern era is things get a lot less grim in terms of tribal dynamics, because we can get away from our tribe if we need to. If you're born into a really toxic family culture, then you can leave. You can, you know, go do some counseling and some therapy and find people who want to treat each other in ways that they don't call names or make attacks on your validity as a human being if they disagree with you or if you say no to them. You know, there's this lovely thing. But we're really, you know, for people who are in a family unit, there's not the same room to move away from your tribe. So there's a lot of kind of old stuff that gets stirred up with that, like tensions that may have been a little below the surface. I think among everything else, coronavirus is really an amplifier. It's going to really show us some stuff, which can be really uncomfortable. So a dynamic in a family unit that was subtle can suddenly become a really big deal. And if you're like me, I am sheltering at home with my kitty cat, which is pretty nice on the whole. I'm on the introvert side of the scale, so that's helpful. I have a really rich inner world. That's helpful. Spring is gorgeous right now, and I have thousands of acres of BLM land that almost no one knows about, so I have massive hiking trails. But I'm still biologically hardwired for connection, and virtual connection isn't the same. I can connect with people's energy, I can have deep conversations, but there's something about being in front of another human that is a different energetic experience, and I'm going without that. So, you know, sacral chakra, if you want to look at it in chakra terms, all cattywampus and stirred up because the instincts are just getting activated, activated, activated. And consciously unplugging from the collective fear is really good. Grounding in the earth is really good. Spring is going just fine in San Diego County. So there's a lot of activation on the human layer, but I can drop into the nature layer and that helps. I have really good wards and protections and crystal grids that are just helping me not have to use my own energy body to filter the loudness that's happening at the human level right now. So that's super helpful as well. But nonetheless, super activating time for my instincts. I'm working a lot with them. My heart chakra's bummed because it's not getting the connection it's used to. And oh my goodness, my third chakra, my solar plexus, is so easily activated. It's having such a time of it where people who are just not doing COVID right, you know, and or their reactions or, you know, this, that, and the other thing. It's you know, I have really good skills, but I'm really looking at my trigger with other humans. You know, the underlying stress is getting in the way of how much patience and tolerance I would naturally have. How much, well, that's not really a big deal. It wouldn't be the way I do it, but it's not really my business. Like, I'm having to work a little more with those. So that's happening. So ideally, as a person with 20 years of shamanic connection and a profound connection to the guides, the place to go is the clarity of my soul and the clarity of my third eye. And it occurred to me that I know something about how to use that perhaps a lot of other people don't know. And you might not know this just because it's somewhat more obscure knowledge. You know, there's a lot of one-on-one stuff that people get, but not everybody's teaching the really deeper, nuanced kinds of things. And one of the cool things about my former engineering brain is, you know, I retain so much of all these little kernels of wisdom I collected from so many places. And I have a team of guides that's really helpful for helping me access that information. So I think that a lot of you may not know this consciously. And a lot of people who are intuitive and psychic and using those abilities aren't using them consciously. So they don't necessarily know where their third eye is looking. So the result of that is you could have your third eye tuning in to the chaos, trying to figure it out, and really creating a lot more activation, because we've already got some chakras that are probably going to have a little bit of a hard time with this. And the more we calm our root chakra down, I'm safe at the level of circumstance, my roots are in the ground, I have enough food in the refrigerator, I'm physically safe right now, okay, deep breath, or soul connection, all right, I still feel my guides, I still feel my connection to the eternal, I'm here. It'll help us have a chat with the chakras that really want to spin out. But if your third eye is something that you haven't developed your ability for where it goes, and no shame or judgment or anything else in that. We're all at different places on our paths, and most people aren't as geeky about this stuff as I am. So I work with a lot of people who have incredible intuitive gifts, but like me, have been born into a society that doesn't teach and train us how to use those from the time we're little kids. And as a result, it's this profound ability that's operating in the background. And under normal times, it does pretty well by us. It can be super helpful. You get really clear feelings about people. You kind of know when maybe it's not the best time to go to the thing. Like, there's a lot of background intuition that's really effective. One of the times I noticed this most clearly was really early on my journey. I had a friend who was like, hey, you have some gifts, let me teach you some stuff. So we did some ritual and we did some scrying and just waking up, like 101 exercises to open up and focus the third eye. And driving home that night, I felt like I couldn't see. I was so freaked out. I was like, I can see, but I feel like I can't see. How can I drive a car if I can't see? And what I realized was my third eye had just been exercised, so it was tired, so it closed. It's like, all right, enough for the night, I'm done. And I was so used to the stream of input that came with everything I was looking at, that having that go away literally felt like I was blind. One of the terms that gets used is head blind, which has to do with not being able to perceive. And I had temporary head blindness. I could not perceive. And it was very disorienting because it was a stream of information that I was used to having that just, you know, needed a little time to recover. Because, you know, it's like if you've gone to the gym and you've worked your arms really vigorously and then they're noodles for a little while and you try to pick up something really light and your arms just don't work, that kind of thing. So I want to talk a little bit about why your third eye may be not working so well for you or so helpful in this time. So what's hard about this is we really can't reason this out with the human brain. There's lots of people using lots of computers and lots of models and lots of experts, and everybody's talking about what it's going to be and trying to figure it out because humans really like ground. But the truth is we're in this crazy experiment. I think there are good ways that we're running the experiment, but how do you keep the economy from crashing when so many people are under stay-at-home orders? And how do you flatten the curve? And how do you develop a vaccine for this brand new virus on a really accelerated timeline? And there are all these problems that are being solved that the ingenuity and the resourcefulness of people are figuring out, but our brains just don't have the capacity to crunch the data properly. I love my brain. I love numbers. I have a genuine affinity for my engineering background. And the truth of it is, I just know the limitations of the hardware. The human brain, there's too much data. It's too big and chaotic a system. There are too many billions of people having their experiences. It's way too complicated. Our human brain can't make sense of it. It doesn't matter how many hours you spend reading the news and how much data there is. So then the emotion takes over, and then we're in the cognitive bias about what we believe about the world that's informing us who to listen to and what models and what stories. And if your story that's coming out of that is like, it's super complicated right now, but I think we're going to be okay, cool. If it's something else, if you're going into some really scary places, I would just invite you, true or not, you're not going to do yourself any favors by amplifying your freak it outedness by telling yourself scary stories. There's no outcome that's going to be better. People who have pre-rehearsed horrible grief and horrible loss by imagining it have reported back that when they survived such a thing, they were not better prepared for it. It wasn't helpful. It wasn't value added. So Brené Brown talks about this because it's kind of a human thing we do. We imagine terrible, terrible outcomes. I would invite us all to trust in our resourcefulness that has gotten us to this point to be able to respond when we have something to respond to, rather than trying to spin on the hamster wheel of scenarios. So it's just knowing our human brain can't make sense of it. So naturally, all of my psychic intuitive folks are going to go questing on the unseen layer. Show me the destiny path. Show me how this is unfolding. What's my life going to look like? What are things going to be like? And the thing is, right now we're in take apart. And take apart is so uncomfortable. And we're in take apart on the world system. The world economic flow is in take apart. Our lives are in take apart. Our experiences are in take apart. And take apart is actually just really neutral. One of the things that I know about take apart, and one of the things I love about having shamanic friends, is I can call my friend up and say, I'm having a take apart day. And she'll know that what I'm saying is nothing is fundamentally wrong. I know that when my energy reorganizes from this, there are going to be some really beautiful gifts and benefits. But it's uncomfortable as hell. I don't like it. I'm disoriented. I can't see clearly at a psychic level as far as my personal life. And I feel really super unsettled and kind of itchy and discombobulated, and I don't like this flavor. And as a shamanic practitioner, I do a lot of dismantling beliefs and structures and systems, and it's paid huge dividends in terms of having a life that I really love. My life at the level of circumstance is incredibly aligned to exactly who I am. And it got there through, you know, this willingness to tolerate the discomfort of take apart so I could implement more elegant systems and life strategies and social skills and a whole bunch of other things. And so I'm super familiar with take apart. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that the world is in take apart right now. I'm super biased toward closure and organization and knowing where things stand. And if the system is super clear, I know how to be resourceful and move with it. But the system is really cattywampus. It's messy right now. And there's a factor of that for me that is just about enduring it. But the place that I'm concerned that the people who find my wisdom valuable enough to listen to, which means there's a certain alignment if you're, you know, inclined to use your time, especially in this time of so much content, to hear what I have to say, you probably have a part of you that's looking around, that's trying to find the destiny paths. And when you can't find them, that could be increasing the fear. And for me, I recognize the discomfort of looking around at the take apart of the system, and I know I don't like that flavor, so I'm managing the, I don't like how it is, pretty much the same way I manage the height of the summer heat. I'm like, oh, winter is a much more magical time for me. I love winter solstice far more deeply than summer solstice. Some of that, I'm sure, is the benevolence of living in San Diego, so I'm not like snowed in or having to scrape my car out of ice. I have a lot of freedom, but the movement toward the dark times and the internal is a really rich, magical time for me, whereas the relentlessly sunny nature of San Diego, especially in the summer and especially when it gets really hot, is not to my taste. So, bummer, it's the summer season when it's the summer season, like spring is lovely. I'm savoring the variability of all the weather that's rolling through. And when it is summer, I'm like, bah, it's not my favorite flavor when it's in the hundreds and it's harder to hike in the hills and it's hot and it's so bright and, you know, and okay, I'm not going to make myself miserable all summer, but I'm working with something that's not to my taste. And that's where I'm engaging with the take apart of the world. I'm working with something that's not to my taste. I know that I can't get ground right now, and I don't like the flavor of not getting ground. If you want to explore more of that, Pema Chodron and her Tonglen teachings are magnificent for how do we deal with not having ground? Because arguably, much as we long for it as humans, we're in a changing dynamic world, and really, really having certainty is not particularly available to us. And it's exacerbated during this time. So however much you dislike uncertainty and take apart and unpredictability and change, those parts of you are going to be really, really, really pissed off right now. Really, really, really uncomfortable. And so it's a good time to kick in with your self-care. But the story that I want to encourage you not to tell is to send your psychic awareness out, see the take apart, know that you're somebody who can usually see down the destiny paths, find that you can't see down the destiny paths, and interpret that information as the world having a much more serious problem related to us all ultimately being about as well as we've been in our lifetimes, and get really freaked out. Because what we just can't see down the destiny path because everything's in take apart. One of my teachers, Maria Yesperu, back in the day, one of those little colonels that I remember vividly. I also learned I'm not much of a ceremonialist. She's a magnificent ceremonialist. I am not. I don't have the patience for it. But she said, you know that Star Trek thing where they went through a wormhole? You know, the if you haven't geeked out, I'm geeky about those things, but they had this this way of showing it visually where you could go through this passage in space, and it would put you somewhere very, very far away that would take you much longer to get to. But the graphics when you went into it, or if you're a Doctor Who fan, they show, you know, that tunnel. It's like a tunnel from one place to another, where there's all this light and all this movement, and there's this experience of just being in it, and you can't orient, you can't see where you are, you just hold on, it's going to take a couple minutes, you'll get through the other side of the tunnel, everything will be shaken around, your sensors won't be able to read anything, and then on the other side, you come out, you take a breath, you reorient, and on the Star Trek show, you know, the captain would say status, and you know, the people would look at their instruments now that they worked again, and they'd say, oh, okay, here's where everything is. And this is a time for the whole human race that we're in this tunnel of having a lot of change and a lot of take apart. And the take apart is like all those lights, and you know, it was quite beautiful actually to go through a wormhole in the way that Star Trek represented it, or Doctor Who represents it, but you can't orient, you can't see anything. And understanding that can help you use your psychic capacity in a way that's more useful. So what I keep doing, and I realized it would be kind of cool potentially helpful if I broke it down, because I just do the thing and I don't know that I've taught the thing, is I'm sending my roots down to the ground. I'm connecting to the earth. The earth is fundamentally fine. The human race is having a cattywampus, stirred up, you know, uncomfortable time of it. When we go up, we can orient connected to our higher self. So my higher self, outside the chaos of everything that's moving around in the planet, is up past those layers and in its calm, centered space, as are my guides. I have the team that I'm working with, and I can send my awareness up and have this point of clarity from my higher self, and I can send my roots down and have this point of anchoring from the earth relationship, and I want to keep orienting to those points because that's where I can orient right now. I can orient where I stand on the planet under the sun and the stars and in the season, and I can spend time outdoors. Fortunately, I'm happy that I have that, but even if you're, you know, thinking about it going through the roof of your house, you can still orient above and below. And I'm not trying to look down destiny paths. Not that there aren't just fine destiny paths, it's just that if I wanted to look at human destiny paths, I'd pretty much have to like leave my body, go into upper world and look down, which I'm not doing because I don't think it's very useful. I think things are in a lot of motion right now. So if you're disconnected from your felt sense of everything is going to be fine, ultimately, I mean, for sure there are people who are passing, who are dying, and that is distressing. But statistically speaking, it's a teeny tiny drop in the bucket. Like it's fewer people a day than, you know, are necessarily dying, you know, for suicide. Like when we run all the numbers, they're insurance companies that are giving back money because the premiums have dropped. So if you look at the people who died of coronavirus worldwide versus you look at the number of people who would have died in automobile accidents, and you subtract the people who didn't die in automobile accidents or the people for whom flu season was represented and the normal number of deaths there would have been for flu season, and you look at the, you know, like all the numbers, I don't know how it's going to work out. Again, human brain, not good at crunching numbers on that level and the billions of people on the planet, but there's a compelling possibility that depending on how this navigates through, there might actually be less death that comes out of this time, or there might be more. I don't know, but there's so many people who are well and healthy. You know, I looked up we have almost, I think it's 40 million people in California. That's the state I live in. Like that's a huge, huge number of people. And you know, and then you know, we're representing, you know, the numbers in the like 15, 16,000. And I get that, you know, we're not testing in the United States as much as we can, so there are probably more cases out there, but the medical model is probably seeing the really acute cases. Yes, there have been, you know, people who've died, but most people are healthy, and what most people are dealing with is the emotional and psychological and economic take apart that's going on for this. And so I want to just it, I think it's just helpful to sort of loosen up those perspectives, because our brains are hardwired to pay attention to threats. We're bad at probability. Humans are lousy at probability. It's not how our cognition works, because if the probability that that stick was a snake was, you know, well, the last 10 have been sticks and maybe it's not a snake, you still, as a hunter-gatherer person, want to stop and get to 100% certainty. You're not about to like get in the personal space of a snake at all. You don't want to say, well, you know, statistically speaking, it's probably not poisonous. Odds are it would move away from me. It might just be a stick. So there's really only a 1 in 1,000 chance that I'd get bit by a poisonous snake, and then it's only a 50-50 chance I die. So I'm just going to keep walking. Like, that's just not a good protocol. So we have these things that are not good about statistics with perceived threat. And it's just good to know that about ourselves so we don't believe everything we think. And likewise, for all my intuitive, psychic, energetically sensitive folks, these faculties, these abilities of yours have been operating in the background, and you're used to having them provide this kind of data that allows you, even if your human mind isn't really conscious enough, to kind of see where things are going. Because I've had really big events and shifts, like really things that should have been shocking and startling and amazing, and I had no conscious thought that they were even a possibility. But then when they happened, they didn't feel like a surprise. You know, it's this weird thing where I'm like, wow, I wouldn't say I consciously knew that at all. I wouldn't say I consciously saw it coming. But there's some part of me that's already made peace with this change in circumstance that my conscious thinking mind, that's good for driving cars and figuring out how to plug in the new microphone that I'm trying out as they make this very first recording, wasn't privy to, and yet some part of me was kind of in the know. And because of the take apart and the scope of it, the part of you that is kind of in the know isn't getting that data in the way that you do when the system is more organized and you're able to, you know, kind of read beyond yourself, whatever your personal things are. So all of this is a very long way of saying, if your third eye is it when we feel unsettled, our third eye gets pressed into the service of tracking threats. And so it's really good to coax it into looking at something else. I do this a lot when I work with people around their instincts, because if you grew up with not enough safety as a child, you would have used your psychic capacity to track the unstable alcoholic in your environment, or the, you know, the rageaholic mom, or whatever the threats were. And that includes if you really didn't have that bad of an upbringing, but you were just really sensitive. I was super sensitive, so I was constantly tracking whether adults were annoyed with me, but I was also really overwhelmed and disoriented by the energy, so I was a weird, socially awkward kid, so often they were annoyed with me, which was very distressing because I didn't know how to correct the situation, but gosh, I could feel it intuitively, even if their actions were polite and nice and appropriate. So, you know, it was a hard thing to have these unmanaged psychic gifts. My quality of life improved vastly with learning to manage them, and this is a good time to start to understand where they go by default and maybe coax your psychic awareness to watching how the trees are doing, or how the birds are doing, or the flowers that are blooming, taking it off the who's sick and who's dying. Because because a lot of people are, you know, it's a fascinating time. You know, there's a lot of creativity emerging. You know, there's a lot of free content. I got to watch the streamed thing of a production of Hamlet at the Globe Theatre in London, which, you know, I never would have traveled, and I didn't even know if they had those things online. So here's this free opportunity to see this like play that has had these profound ripples through humanity. I'm not sure I recommend Hamlet. I mean, it's pretty darn dark, but as a piece of art, and I love the theater, it was super compelling. There's this creativity and people making music and people finding new ways to connect and people maybe doing their inner work or maybe working on projects they love or maybe you know, there's just so much that's in play that could be really beautiful and creative and magnificent, and you might want to direct your third eye over to that. So like Good News Movement is a thing I'm following on Instagram because they just tell all the heartwarming stories of people being kind to each other and donating money and figuring out a cheaper way to make ventilators. These MIT students who, you know, made it like are creating ventilators for like 1/1000th of the original cost. You know, it's just cool. They're cool things. And so we want to just sort of coax ourselves away from watching what is scary and activating, or at least, you know, at least budget our time. You know, it's hard to persuade ourselves not to look, but I'm trying to only like check the news a couple times a day and, you know, be present to other things. And so anyway, I hope this is helpful. You know, if you recognize that you're in the wormhole, that the world's in take apart, that things can be fundamentally fine and elegant and going a good way and all going to work out and potentially even have gains in how many people on the planet are able to be well. Like, that's always my vision. That's always the world I'm dreaming into being. Our ancestors have done a good job. The trajectory of humans being kind and playing nice with each other is unprecedentedly high in modern times. You know, you go back 100 years or 200 years or 500 years, humans had stories that it was okay to be much more horrid to each other, if they were them rather than an us. And we're it's messy and complicated and you know, crunchy, but you know, we're on this trajectory of the level of well that people all over the world are experiencing continues to climb. And I don't know what this will be, but my vision certainly is when all the take apart and all the dust and everything settles, that we're on that trajectory of continuing the work in our lifetime that moves toward humanity playing well with each other and playing well with the planet. You know, that's like my big picture. So just know that that could be absolutely, utterly the truth. It's kind of nice to tell yourself that story, regardless of what actually factually happens. It's going to be probably a lot more complicated, where some people see improved quality of life and some people see more challenges in the coming days. It's never that uniform in the huge chaotic system with so many data points of so many people living their lives. But know that you're absolute inability to get a sense of whether this is a good thing or a bad thing or a mixed thing, or it's leading us to a better place or it's leading us to a worse place. That's unavailable. That's by the nature of what's happening with the energy. There's absolutely no way to gather that information at a time that we're desperately hungry for information. The news can't help us. You're probably turning to your psychic gifts. So just imagine pulling those in. And it's a great time to pay attention to the energy of your home, how to organize the energy of your home to be really supportive for your life. I'm actually offering my House to Haven program at 75% off. And it's a 5-week program. I'm just going to really hold you in a container and help you put your house in order. It's a great time to pay attention to your wards, to do space clearing, to take up that meditation practice. There are great apps that they can prove do a really good job for helping the human system to chillax and calm down. There's so much that's available. So it's a good time to deepen your relationship with yourself and review what do I really want to create in my life, and how do I take care of myself when I'm kind of a cranky, overtired toddler because I can't go have dinner with the friends and I'm missing heart connection and I'm missing stimulation, and it's kind of the wrong kind of stimulation because it's all through a screen. And you know, what are there's richness to be had. Just see if you can coax your attention away, even on this unconscious level, and bring it home to a focal point. So you could do a candle meditation where you bring your psychic awareness into looking at the candle flame, and you'll feel the difference. You know, you may have the thought popping into your mind like, yeah, Katie, it sounds all really good and well to get my third eye to stop scanning for destiny paths and trying to figure this all out, but how the hell do you do it? And the biggest thing I think is knowing that you're doing that, and then it's research and development. You could try a, you know, exercise at home and see if that helps. You could try losing yourself in a book. You could try meditating on a candle flame. There's probably a combination of things. You know, it's probably not any one thing. I just find that I'm using a lot of my practices to tend the angstiness, so I don't have to be more angsty than I have to be. There's a certain amount of angstiness that is just going to go with this time, but I don't want to be participating in a way that causes more discomfort than is just innate to the situation. So that one of the things my guides have been talking to me about is reaching for that little step toward ease and relief, just a movement, ease and relief, little more ease and relief, little more ease and relief, little more ease and relief, rather than feeling good or wonderful. I've had to work with myself about my expectations. Right now, I had a pretty good week last week, but this week, you know, is quieter at the end of the week. Who knows? Sometimes people book, sometimes they don't, but I've had to work with like, all right, now's the time to work on all these programs and projects. And I just don't have the kind of mental focus that I have in non-pandemic times. And so I really want to invite you to give yourself grace in not having this be the time where you're going to lose weight and get fit and work on your business and learn another language. If those are yummy things and they're light and they're graceful and they're engaging and they feel good, yay, rock on. But don't think of this as productive time. This is much more appropriate if you aren't a first responder and you're not essential services and you have a little bit of grace. It's much more appropriate to be in yin and presence and working with your emotionality and resting and, you know, and that more internal than the yang of now is the time to get to work on all the things that I've meant to do for years and haven't had time to do. You know, it's just not kind. It's going against your nature. And if you try to push yourself into productivity when it's not coming from a really fire in the belly, I want to do this place, that toddler tantrum that is brewing inside of all of us is probably going to get a lot worse. So I really want to invite you to take grace with not being your most productive or ambitious or inspired or in action during a pandemic. And I'm saying this out loud in the great principle of we teach what we need to learn, because everything I've said is a great reminder to me about things that I know but don't always remember to implement. And don't have the expectation that just because, I mean, in my space, at the level of circumstance, things are lovely. I have a cat I adore. I'm surrounded by beautiful crystals. I have huge windows where I can watch spring unfold. I have BLM land that I can go hike on with way more social distancing than you know is even required. My cupboards are stocked with food. I have enough reserves that I'm not in economic terror about how things are going to be. The government has created some really nice backup nets to catch me in the position that I'm in if need be. I really hope that I can keep my business flowing kind of in its own magic. That just feels yummier to me, but you know, there's help if that doesn't work. So at the level of circumstance in my life, things are really, really good. Plus there's all this really cool free content and offers and stuff to engage with. And yet It's not the yummy yen time that it would be if all these things were true and there wasn't a pandemic going on outside. You know, if you choose to stay home because it's delicious, that's a little different than, you know, staying home because it's required, even if you make exactly the same choice. And I think it's kinder just to recognize the truth of it and not be mad at ourselves for our human nature. So anyway, I hope that there's something that was of value if you're somebody who stuck around till the end of this. I'm really doubling down on supporting the people who have chosen to receive my space holding. So my patrons, so appreciative. I have an offer on Patreon, and in fact, they helped to purchase the brand new microphone that I'm trying out. And there's just a really it feels really delicious to be creating that little bit more ease, little bit more relief for the people who I'm working actively with. So, for those of you who are in my chakra program, for those of you who are my patrons, it starts at the $1 level. So it's just a choice of wanting to be held within my sphere of concern, if that's something that resonates for you. Really, really love being able to provide that. And you know, and so the one of the more delicious, aligned, heart-centered things I get to do is the people who choose to receive my work, getting to really show up for them is feeling really good and really aligned. So for those of you who are in that relationship to me, I just want to say thank you so much. And I really hope that along with this recording, you're able to receive a transmission of all the good that my guides intend for you. And totally up to whatever's right and good. I'm not trying to impose energy on anyone, but just there's a lot of things that work in the background with my team of guides. And so just know that there's the capacity in the speaking of the words and the receiving of the words and the vibration that can allow for energetic interventions. So this is a mental information, you know, your mind can process it, but you may want to just receive some of this and other things that I share as an invitation to the guides, like, hey, that ease and relief sounds really good. I invite that. And if you think that consciously, you can get some of your guides and the beings that support us to move some things around. So just know that it's not, it's, our minds are magnificent, but there's a lot of wisdom inside of us that can move as well. And this recording that I'm creating is a call to that inner wisdom to rise to the surface and be of use to you in this super complicated and very activating time. So, lots of love to everyone. Again, my name is Katie Weatherup, and you can learn more about me and my work at my website, which is handsoverheart.com.